love the Word of God, and I like to talk about it. But my calling is to get into a gift that came from God for inspiration for the people. And as Brother Ramsey has rightly said, it is not just something other than, well, if God has just done for one individual person or something, I'm just a little bitty part of it. But it was given to me in order that it could be demonstrated before the church that everybody might catch the vision of the supernatural part that God lives and reigns in this church today. And it's here to bless us all. And the blessings I trust with one of the finest groups of ministers I've met. I believe that these brothers here that just got to shake their hands about once, but they're certainly fine brothers. And I'm so glad to know that when we leave here, we leave these converts and so forth in hands of men like that love God. May God richly bless, and may there be an old-fashioned revival starting from this river and out through the country, ready for the coming of the Lord, for I truly believe it's drawing close at hand. I do not wish you to say I was a fanatic and said when Jesus is coming right now. I do not know that. No one knows when Jesus is coming. Not even the angels, just the Father is all who knows. But he said when we see these signs begin to come to pass, then get ready for the time was at hand. And we know we're right at the time. Now, in a day like this, the brethren give it to me, and usually on Saturday nights or something like that, I try to put in as much time as possible. The gift has such an effect, so it just pulls the life out of me. And sometimes I get to, I don't even know where I'm standing at. It's just such an anointing. You just get to a place, and many times, there's other reasons why they take me. We're just all God's children, aren't we? Just home folks. I believe you love me. I love you with all my heart. And many times that way, I hold myself on the gift. Now, it's not around me. I haven't been praying. I got up, had just a little bite of breakfast, and I won't eat any more probably classic services and so forth. I have to keep empty. If you keep your stomach empty, the blood is at your brain. And you must be ready. And if you're all full, when you're at the power of fasting, when you're full, the blood goes into your stomach to digest your food, you see. And then when you're empty, it's in your brain. So you can be just, because them two spirits is the closest to see the very elect if possible. And many times you heard cries. I've heard people shout. As I told you, I hope God has let me find favor with you that you believe me. I've heard people shout when it wasn't God. I've heard people cry when it wasn't God. And there's sympathy sometimes. The devil wants to be petted. And it takes a real sheep raiser to know the difference between a blade of a goat and a lamb. They're supposed to gather, you see. And so therefore, on this platform, you must be very careful. See, just one thing, all faith is wants to throw out before the public. So therefore, I have to be fasting, prayerful, every minute on the guard, watching for something. And now, on a service like this, it just feels like you just, we call it a street expression, just let down your collar, come in and talk. And you don't have to be looking at that. You just go to talk on the word. And then, sometimes when it gets in that subconscious condition on a platform, it goes to calling people critics and things in the meeting and sets in the meeting. And that causes a disturbance. Sometimes I get angry and up around about it. And I just try to hold it just exactly to one thing. That's on healing, what I'm representing here on divine healing and so forth. Now, if the patient's up here and something in the patient, why, it's called out. But sometimes out in the audience, it just pulls right out the critics and so forth sitting there. First feeling, a discerning spirit and all. And sometimes you have to speak very sharply. And you don't speak yourself, it speaks. And so it's a great day that we're coming into. Not long ago, I was talking to someone said all the days of evangelism will be after this church is done gone, and there'll be another age raised up. Don't you believe that? Now is the day. You get ready now. You're probably living one of the best days that you'll ever see. That's right. You take heed today to the Word of God. The Holy Spirit's been in the world for evangelism for 1,900 years and better. This is the day of evangelism, to move out and get the church in order. God's showing these signs in the order. God's supernatural. Now, as I told you a while ago, I'm just a long ways from being a preacher. I don't believe in joking at the platform. This is no place to joke. This is sacred. This is a platform thing. And we mustn't do that. This is God's house, God's place. So we must be real sincere. Now, as a minister, I remember when I first got my papers, ordination papers at the Missionary Baptist Church, I thought I was a preacher. I just loved to tell everybody I was a preacher. And it kind of reminds me, one time I was, my father was, my mother is from Oklahoma and Texas. And she was born in the state of Kentucky, and my grandfather went west. My mother's mother come off the Oklahoma reservation. She's full-blood Cherokee Indian. And my father's Irish. And my mother on the other side, but her father was Irish. And so there's forgiveness for that. I say that so that we know that God, no matter what we are, who we are, God will forgive us. That's right. Of all our sins and trespasses. My father was a rider. And he went west breaking horses, and he met my mother. They were married. I was born when my mother was 15 years old, and my father was 18, just children. And so I used to want to be like my dad. Next Sunday afternoon, the Lord willing, if we get to stay over for next Sunday, I wish to tell my life story next Sunday afternoon from the platform here, and how I loved my daddy, and how I wanted to do things like dad did. And he used to like to ride, so I said, I want to be a rider also. I got to be a man. I used to take our old plow horse, and of the afternoon when the work was over, and I'd put some cuckoo burrs under the saddle and pull it down, you know, real good tight, get down behind the barn where the watering trough was, and get on the old horse, and the poor old thing was tired. He put rough, so he just stand ball, you know, just cut his feet up and down. And I'd take off my straw hat and hit him like that. I thought I was a real rider. So one day, I got to be about 18 years old. I went out west. I landed in Arizona. I thought I wanted to be a rider. I went out to the trail to find out if I could get a job riding the rodeo. And I climbed up with a pair of Levi's on the trail fence where it brought a horse out, and he had to come out through the stalls to catch his chance. I've seen a fella jump on the horse there, and my, sure didn't act like my old plow horse. Sure was that fella, my, had a handful of mane in his hand. And the fella coming by a collar came by and said, I'll give any man $50 he will stay on in my cabin. Kept coming on by all those riders there. He said he would come right straight to me. He said, are you a rider? I said, no. I was very scared because I wasn't a rider. That just reminded me when I was first got ordained as a Baptist preacher, I'd carry my Bible under my arm, you know, and go down the street. And I'd say, are you a preacher? Yes, sir. See? And one day I was at St. Louis, Missouri. I went into a tent meeting. There was a minister there by the name of Reverend Dard. He was a Pentecost preacher. And he got to preaching. My! He would preach till his breath would leave him. He'd turn red in the face, and his knees would go together, and he'd go plumb down to the floor and come back, catch his breath, and you hear him for about 2 squares. Still preaching. Someone said, are you a preacher? I said, no, sir. I wasn't no preacher. I was a preacher all right till I met him. So when I come around where these Pentecost preachers, I say, I'm no preacher. My old slow Baptist ways don't think of it that fast. So I just have to do the best I can. But I do love the Word of God. The Word is really good, and it's good to our hearts. And this afternoon, my brother is fixing to go away to the Army. His team, they called him last night. He has to leave right away to return into active service. And here not long ago, I preached a little subject on the resurrection of Lazarus. I don't know where anybody here has preached on it or not in other places. If you have, raise your hand. But the resurrection of Lazarus, 3 or 4. And he asked me, that was one of his favorite subjects. And he asked me if I'd get on it some way for this afternoon. And I promised him I would. If you'll bear with me just a little bit, we'll have prayer. Our Heavenly Father, now we've come together this afternoon for one purpose, to speak of Thee. Love Thee, and we all love You. And we've come facing this today knowing that today maybe someone may steal their eternal destination from this service today. The attitude towards the Word. We realize that no one can come in a service and return and be the same person. We go out, if we reject, we go out worse than we were when we come in. And if we accept, we go out better than we were. So the word did not return void. It accomplished that which it is purposed for. And now, Father, realizing that maybe many unsaved are here today, and to speak before them this word, I pray, God, that you'll take the word by the Holy Spirit and may it get out to each one. May everyone be blessed, Father. Keep us humble. We realize that we're nothing in this earth, and we may not live to see the sunset this afternoon. We may go out to meet God before that time. And now, Father, bless thy servants this afternoon, and help me as I minister the word of grace to the people, for I ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Do without Jesus. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Jesus. Now, friends, I'm just a little funny about standing up and speaking before people because I haven't got any education. So now, don't judge me by my education, but for what I mean, what's on my heart, if you will. I wish to read this portion of Scripture found in St. John's 11th chapter. If you would like to read just a little with me, and pray with me, if you will, for just a short time, and I'll try to close, not keep you too long, so you can be here for the evening service. The 11th chapter of St. John, let's begin about the 20th verse of the 11th chapter. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. I love that, don't you? Just listen to this reading of the word. Let me read that 21st verse again, listen. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask God, God will give it thee. Jesus said unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. That is the attitude of approach. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. These are Jews believe in the general resurrection. Listen to the 25th verse. Notice, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which is come into the world. May God add his blessing to his word. Now, let everyone just forget about the work you have to do tomorrow, what you done last week, and let's think of Jesus just now. And get this story kind of in our mind of him and seeing him at this time. This was during the time of his beginning of his ministry. His ministry had gotten great. Calling so much that he couldn't go to different, he had to go to different parts of the country, to minister to those who were in need. And it had a very hard time. Isn't it strange that God takes those things of low estate and brings them up? When he was born with a black name to begin with, black mark on his name. He was supposed to have been a legitimate child, or illegitimate child, born by Joseph being his father before he and Mary was married. Someone not long ago told me, he said, Brother Branham, don't you believe that that was just a little bit of a slip-up like we have in all days? And I said, no, sir. I believe that he was true. I believe that he was truly the Son of God. He was God's Son. And he said, it's against all scientific research, Brother Branham. He was a scientist. He said, it's against all scientific research for anything like that to happen. And he said, first place, Your thought of God is just psychology. He said, there is no such a thing. He said, it's good to let people believe in that. I said, no, I differ with you, my friend. No, I said, I know there is. He said, now don't you think that if Joseph was really the father and he was just a good man, a good teacher, and a smart man, and they just made a religion around him? I said, no, sir. I believe that he was the virtuous born son of God. And I said, I believe it with all my heart. He said, well, it could not have been born without he had an earthly father. So now, corn, it has to have a pollen. All things have to be pulled between natural, between male and female, and it's utterly impossible for any child to be born without a direct sexual affair of a male and female. And he said, it has to have an earthly father and mother. I said, brother, or friend, I couldn't call him my brother, but I said, friend, look, I differ with you. I said, now, you were just telling me a while ago, according to some of the Darwin's ethics or something, that the first man, when he came here, it was a germ, come on to earth, with moon and star began, maybe it was a tadpole and so forth. I said, I want to ask you something. If you will credit him of having an earthly mother, but you can't believe he come here without having an earthly father. He said, that's exactly right. It's against all scientific research. I said, then, if you credit him of having an earthly mother and can't believe that God was his father, and you say that he had to have a both earthly father and mother, or he could not have been here, so that's right. I said, how did the first man get here without father or mother then? Let him be what he wants to be, see? Let him be, if he was a monkey or tadpole, whatever he was, who was his father and mother? There you are. You have to bring it back to he, God the Creator. And God the Creator created a blood cell in the womb of Mary. Come from the Father, which is God by virgin birth, and that is the Son of God, who we love and cherish today, who died and gave his blood at Calvary that we might have remission of our sins and healing of our bodies. That's my faith in the gospel of Christ. Now, I believe it with all my heart. If we should have an altar call in this city today and 10,000 people would come to Christ and all 10,000 would die tomorrow and 50 years from the day I would return back and they would come back and I would be laying here dying and they'd say, oh, that's fake, Jesus isn't the Christ. No, sir, we done been there and come back and we know that it isn't the Christ. And I was dying, I said, let me go in Jesus, for I believe in no matter what. If I prayed for 10,000 people and every one of them died an hour after I prayed for them, I'd still die. I'd say, I believe in divine healing. For it's the Word of God, and I know it's the truth. That's right. Them theories don't change God's Word. No, sir. God's Word is eternally true, and it's right, and our faith is based on that. And I'm not saved today because I got down at the altar and cried. I'm not saved today because I'm not saved. Because all the Word of God tells me I'm saved. Satan can whip me around anywhere on how you feel, but I believe it because God said so, and I accept him upon the basis of his Word. That's how I was saved. I believed it and confessed it, and then it works the result. But the first thing, I'm saved because God's Word teaches I'm saved. That's how you're saved if you're saved. Satan can whip you on your ideas and things, but he can't go around the Word of God. Jesus said, it is written, and that settled it with all. It is written in the Scriptures. Now when he was there, he was born, as I said, in the world, coming here with a black mark on his knee. How that God so marvelously brought him here. Just before his coming to age, it got just about like it has come to recently, and to a backslidden condition. Israel had been brought into captivity by the Romans, and there they had been taken away, and the priests had got to a place and got away from the supernatural part of God. Been teaching just upon a doctrine of their own theories of what they taught. As Jesus said, you teach for commandments the word of man, making the word of God of non-effect. And that's about the kind of a time that he was born. But God has always had a witness here on earth for him. Now, notice, then during this time, just before his birth, before God does anything here on earth, I want you to catch this clue. Before God does anything on earth, he always sends a witness from heaven to declare it. Now, before Jesus was born, why, God sent a witness of this. Signs and wonders begin to appear of his coming, just as it's appearing today by witnesses of his second coming again. See? Signs and wonders. This is a day that there's never been an age through all the church ages that's ever produced what this age is producing right now. For it's the coming of the Lord drawing near, don't you believe it? Drawing nigh, rather. And we're nearing the time of the close of this world's history when Jesus shall come. Notice, signs begin to appear. There was a man by the name of Zechariah and his wife, Elizabeth, righteous, holy people, keeping the commandments of God, walking in all the statutes and ordinances of God, blameless. That's the kind of a home we need today. Don't you believe it? And instead of that, in the church today, we have everything else. What holiness and righteousness. But they were righteous people, godly people, walking in the commandments of the Lord, keeping all the ordinances blameless. Zacharias was a priest at the temple, and his office was to burn incense while prayer was being made. And one day, while he was in the temple burning incense, Gabriel, an angel from God, came down and stood for the altar of incense and said, Zechariah, fear not, your prayers is heard. Oh, I love that. His wife was there. She hadn't had any children. She's past the age of bearing. But he lived right before God and believed on God. And all of his great, dark, long hours of weary, finally the angel comes and said, God has heard your prayer. Now, if you want God to hear your prayer, send an angel to your home. Live right, do right, treat everybody right, be right before God, and God will grant that to you. Now, he said, now notice, sometimes in that day like it is now, when our prayers are a little bit lingered, we become dull, sense-bound. So Zechariah doubted that that could be so. He didn't believe it. And notice, after he had plenty of examples, now Sarah and Abraham, how old they were when Isaac was born, Hannah came to the temple, passed the age of bearing, went to the temple that day to serve God. Probably women all went to Shiloh, maybe to see what kind of hats one another wore. But not Hannah. She went up with something in her heart. She wanted to talk to God. And she prayed in such deep sincerity till the priest misunderstood her. That's the day sometimes we're called fanatic because we pray and cry out to God. We're not fanatic. Misunderstood. That's all. And then when he thought she was drunk, they did the same thing on Pentecost. They do the same thing today. She said she was not drunk, but she was praying, God, take away her reproach. He blessed her. And as soon as she received the blessing from the priest, notice, didn't wait now. God could have put the baby in her arms right then. But she went home happy, knowing that in due season, God would bring it to pass. That's the kind of people we need today, taking God at his word. Then he has that example and many others. But being a priest, said the word, and still doubted how his wife, as old as she was, could have a baby after that age by him. Notice, but the angel of God will perform his word. He'll bring his word to pass. Regardless, when season comes, harvest is ripe, God is going to send his word and perform his thing. Today, listen, I believe that God is going to call a people out of the Gentiles for his name. And this great latter movement here of a revival sweeping a nation, when if the holiness people don't want it, he'll raise it up out of something else. That's right. It's got to come. He's able these stones to rise children under Abraham. What's the matter? We've let down the bar. Compromising. No minister used to think we let down a bar. We compromise with sin. We let down a bar as the sheep got out. How did the goats get in? You let down the bars. That's what it is. Let down the word. We're getting stiff and starchy. Pray to come back to the old-fashioned gospel. That's right. The old salvation that makes you clean up, pick up. That's right. Make right and come before God. That's what's the matter with the church today. We need a revival. We don't need a new seminary. We don't need new preachers. We don't need new church buildings. We need a revival in what we got. That's what it is. Hurry up. Amen. All right, I'm not amening myself, but amen means so be it. I believe it with all my heart. That's what the world needs today, is an old-fashioned, God-sent, God-proof, sin-killing religion. Oh, St. Paul's revival and the fire of the Holy Ghost back into the church again. That might be pretty strong for a Baptist, but that's right. True. I'm a Pentecostal Baptist. I got the Holy Ghost since I've been a Baptist. That's right. Notice. Cleans up, sets aside, makes a different person, new creature in Christ Jesus. Alright, here's what we need. Then he doubted it to be so, but God's going to confirm his word, don't you worry. God's able these stones to rise, should have Abraham said John. Watch, then in all of that, what's taking place, God was sure to bring it to pass, probably because at the season, at the time, his words ever caught to sit the same place when that prophetic wheel began to roll together. It's got to happen. And there is coming a time when there's right now in the near future, there are great judgments going to be upon these nations that forget God. When you put up with what I've seen the last few days and see around this country under the name of religion and living the way people's living, no wonder communistic things break out as things where they are. That's the Bible teachers, that's right. We're letting down, compromising. But God's going to have a remnant of the people of God first, church without spotted anchor. Amen. I believe it. Amen. I believe it. With all my heart. Notice, then God was going to bring it to pass. And he said, because you have doubted my word, I'm Gabriel. Stand in the presence of God. I'm Gabriel. Look in the presence of God. Lord, you'll be done until the day that they... Hallelujah. I believe God. God, sing a line. Sing a line. See, God's determined. When he speaks, he's stubborn. He can't lie. God, the hour for something like many times to go into places, people go, oh, I don't believe in that. I believe it's hypocritical. Don't make that difference. What kind of don't believe in that? I believe it's... God, the showboard of his power, his hand, the stretching forth, the hand of his son, Christ Jesus, the healer is sick, and the brain, the nine spiritual gifts back to the church. Get a church ready to be raptured. Put a church ready to be raptured in some of these hours. Cause you doubt in me now. You'll be done, but the things will be cause you doubt in me now. You'll be dead for something. Went on through his life, and she can see if there's anything on the high top that looks is going to happen. Right. And she conceived and hid herself for 6 months. 6 months later. Things are happening around Bethlehem and Judea and around in Palestine now. Notice what's happening again now, too. Judea and around in. Oh, my God, get ready. Wake up. Get your conscience out here. Get your soul out here with God. Get away from that sense-bound existence. Thinking what you just look at this, that, and forever. Hey, lift up your head. Redemption is drawing nigh. Get ready. Signs and wonders appearing. Greek. Infidel. That's worse and worse. We got to put up with them. But we're not looking to them. We're looking to God. This Gabriel comes down from heaven. Let's give just a little drama here. I imagine it'd be like on Monday, a rush day or something. In the city of Nazareth, a little woman by the name of Mary. She starts out to the pump, a little old-fashioned head, dripping jars, got handles on them, back the water on her shoulder, on her head. I can see her coming from the spring of the pump out there, well, packing water on her shoulder, her head, walking along, a little virgin,
with all the aristocrats, all the fine-dressed people through the country, the educated. God came down to Nazareth, the meanest city in the world, to pick out a woman that he found who was virtuous, to bring his son to the earth. My, a little virgin. She's walking home, packing the water, persecuted, made fun of probably where they lived. Then be something like it is now. She didn't get out and round around with the rest of the crowd. She was a fanatic. But she knew where she was standing with God. Walking along with her head down, all of a sudden I can just notice a big light like swinging around her. She looked. Standing in that light stood the great angel Gabriel. It excited the little virgin. It would excite you. It would excite me. It did when he appeared, the angel, whatever he was. I hear him say, Hail Mary, blessed art thou among women. And the little virgin stopped in with sorrow at the salutation of the angel. And she looked at him. And he said, I am for you sent for the presence of God. Told her about her, her cousin, Elizabeth, was Mary's first cousin. And then told about that and said that she was going to bring a child, knowing no man. Look! Oh, my. I just feel good. Notice! Right when those callous clergymen, Zechariah, failed to believe the angel's message. Many times there's many clergymen today, brethren, that don't believe it either. It's a
Happy and rejoicing. She said she's going to have a baby. She
no man. Impossible with man, but not impossible with God, for all things are possible to them that believe. She believed God, took him at his word. When the angel met me in the room that night and said to me, go do this, son, said, aren't you afraid that you'll make a mistake? No, sir. I can't make a mistake. Certainly not. I couldn't, but as long as he's here, I can't make a mistake. That's right. I remember not long ago standing up in the mountains. I loved to hunt. I was way in the mountains hunting elk late. Now, all my life, that's how I learned of God, was by hunting, being out. I never went to shows, dances, never smoked drink. I was a black sheep, sure enough. And all of them laughed at me. But I go hunting. And out there in the woods, I see a sunset and a cry. I hear the wind blowing through the leaves of the trees. I wonder, oh my, what brought them trees here? How does it die in the wintertime, come back alive in the summer? How the little flowers that go away and come up again? How the winds would throw those seed up and buried in the ground, and tears from the fall would bear the seed? Is that all of it? No. The ground would freeze, and the seed would burst, the pulp would run out. Is that all? No. In there, there's a germ of life. Just as sure as that warm spring sun begins to shine, yet all stalk, petal, bulb, seed, pulp, everything else gone for the flower. But God's made a way for that flower to live again. Just as soon as that sun goes to shine, there's a germ of life in there somewhere that stayed through the freeze. And I tell you, it'll live again. And if God made a way for a flower to live again, what about a man that's made in his image? The freeze might come, but when a man's born again of the Spirit of God, there's life in there, eternal life, that'll stay in his freeze. And when the Son of Righteousness rises with healing in his wings, there'll be a church to go up to meet in there. Amen. You're going to call me Holy Roller anyhow, and I might as well have a good time anyhow. So there you are. Notice, yes, there's a life. Comes from God that only God alone can give. The freeze might come, it might break you this way or that way, but when that germ of life in there will stay, that's right, that God will bring it forth again in the resurrection. Oh, my. Standing up in the mountains, I was telling you, one fall, I remember about 4 years ago, I was up in Colorado. I go 70 miles back for horseback. A little ranch out there where nobody goes, way up the top of the trail peak. Just to be alone. The little rancher and I, and he sleeps by my side at night on the snow in a little camp bag. And at nighttime, we lay up there and look at the stars. First time with him, I was talking to him about the Lord. He was unconverted. I felt a hand reaching over under my slant bag about 1 o'clock in the morning. The preacher, I said, yeah. He said, looks like him up there. Lord, I said, oh, God bless you, brother. Let's settle it right here. That's right. The deed, calling to the deed, there's got to be a deed to respond to it. There, one day I was up in the mountain going along. It was early in October, and the breezes are coming, the storms are going, the wind is blowing against the evergreens, the storm. I got behind a tree, and I was standing like this, the wind blowing. I was waiting. The storm passed over, and the sun came out. I walked out behind a tree, there was a little blow down near. I looked. And all the, I've been cold while the rain was blowing, swirls all over the evergreens, and the sun was setting down through the crevices of the rocks over there, flickering against that, made a rainbow come down through the valley. Oh, my. I looked at it, and I saved my gun. I said, oh, Jehovah God, 70 miles from civilization. I stood down, old great wolf got the highway up on the rim, and they answered out the bottom. The elk heard, had been lost. They heard them bugling one to another. Then the deep began to call to the deep and hear what is something in nature that pulls out. I love that God's in his nature. Look at the sunset. Get saved once and watch how different things look when you get saved and look at God in his nature out there. That's why I was standing looking at that. I thought, oh my, how wonderful. How would I have to go down here and not run around and around and around the tree and shake my hands with somebody when it come by that thought I was out of an insane institution. I screamed to the top of my voice. I said, oh, God, how great you are. Why would it be that I'd ever have to go down into the valley? I remember as Peter then said, it's good to be here with Phil Priest Tabernacle. Look at that. I heard something moving. I looked over here, and there's a big old eagle. I've been for something moving. I looked over here, and there's a big old eagle worm. He's under the brush. For me, unless you wanted me to see, I wouldn't have put that eagle before me. Unless you wanted me to see, probably can't see about him.
Oh, dark is ours.
Don't worry. Jesus will be along. Maybe your darkest hour, sister. Maybe yours, sister. Maybe yours, brother. But don't worry. Jesus will come along. He's always there just in the darkest of hours.
Everybody stay there. There he goes. I bet she's going out to meet him now. She just pressed right on by him. She knew in her heart if she could ever get to Jesus, she'd get the desire of her heart. That's right. There you are. She probably read the Bible where the Shunammite woman, when her baby was dead, and she knew if she could ever get to Elijah, that she would know why that baby died or get the will of God. Now, Shunammite woman knew that God was in Elijah. There's where the Spirit was in the prophet. And that's where she must get through that earthly vessel that had the Spirit of God in it. When she could ever get to Elisha, she was sick with her heart's desire. So she just stayed there. She said, I'll not leave you. Oh, I like that, don't you? I'll stay with her. Left her. And went right. She said, he said, well, I'll send him a handkerchief, in other words. I'll send a stick and lay on him. She said, as the Lord God lives in your story with us, I'm not going to leave you. And he stayed right there until Elisha went to the house and laid his body on that dead baby. Never prayed. Laid his hands over like that, put his lips down against it like that. And the Spirit of God that was in Elisha come upon the child and brought it back to life again. Well, she knew if God was in Elisha, surely he was in his son. Hallelujah. That's right. There, she said, if I can only get to him, I'll find out the reason my brother died. So she pressed right on through that crowd of unbelievers. But she got down there where he was. Now look, he might close down. I'm going to close just a minute. Seem like that she had a right to upbraid him, doesn't he? Say, why didn't you come to my brother? Scolding. Why didn't you come to my brother? Well, she would have approached him. That attitude should have, that miracle would have never happened. It's your attitude of approach. How you approach anything. If you come, like on the gift here, you've got to approach the gift in the right way. You've got to approach God in the right way. You can't come first. Now, Lord, look here. I've been a pretty good fellow. I'll get some hand-me-downs. I told her, I want you to take it tonight and say, no, no, God don't take it like that. You come God's provided way or you don't come at all. That's right. That's true. That's the way she come to Jesus. She came to him and she ran and fell around at his feet. Look at her now. Let's look at the scene. I hear her say, Lord, giving him his right title. That's what he was. Lord, if thou would have been here, my brother would not have died. Or her heart was broken. She knew her brother was gone. She's turned out of her church now. What did she have left? Just her and Mary to struggle together. She said, Lord, if thou would have been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, Lord, whatever you ask God, God will give it to thee. Oh, isn't that wonderful? My brother's dead. He stinketh. He's in the grave 4 days. The skin worms are crawling through him. But even now, Lord, whatever you ask God, God will give it to you. Oh, look, sister, it may be a dark hour for you, but even now, Lord, whatever you ask God, he's sitting at the right hand of the Father to intercede for you. Even now, Lord, whatever you ask God, God will do it. Say, well, I got a cancer, brother Ben. The doctor says I'm going to die. I can't make it, but even now, Lord, whatever you ask. Oh, Brother Graham, I've had prayer, of course, but I just couldn't. But even now, Lord, whatever you ask God, God will do it. Oh, right now, even now, at this minute, God can take our cancer away from the people here. He can heal our crippled person. He can make the rain more. What? Even now, Lord, whatever you ask God, God will do it. God, give me the eyes of this blind man break forth. He can heal cross-eyed or that cross-eyed girl thing there. He can make this woman here bound, raise the health and strength. Why? Even now, Lord. Even now, Lord, whatever you ask God, God will give it to you. That went to the heart of Christ. I can hear him raise, or see him raise and say, thy brother shall rise again. She said, yea, Lord, he'll raise again at the last day, for he was a good boy. Did he believe in that general resurrection at the last day? She said, yeah, Lord, he'll raise at the last day. Look at him. The Bible said there's no beauty we should desire him. Little old spinning-looking fellow, probably skinny and bony, but I see him pull his little stuff together. But I am the resurrection and life. Oh, my! I still believe he's the resurrection and life. I am the resurrection and life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said, yea, Lord, look. Oh, there's the gift of God before us. There's everything that she has need of. She's approaching it right. The wheels are coming together. She regards him as Lord, his title. That's what he was. Called him the Son of God. Even now, Lord, I believe whatever you ask God, God will do it. See? And I believe that it the Son of God which had come into the world. Oh, my. Something has to happen. When faith like that is left the right spot, something has to happen. I know that by experience.
What's up, sir? We are both with faith as best at the right time.
It has to happen. Stop you. She said, I believe what you said is the truth. I believe that you're the Son of God that was to come into the world. Where have you buried him? Oh, my. Where have you buried him? Where did he go? A woman said to me not long ago, she said, Brother Graham, he was a good man, but he wasn't divine. He was just like an ordinary man. I said, oh, yes, he was divine. He was divine. Said he was a good man, but he wasn't divine. I said, yes, he was. I'll tell you what, she said, here's the reason he wasn't. But when he went down to the grave of Lazarus, it proved that he wasn't divine because he went to crying. And that showed that he was a man. The Bible said Jesus wept. I said, look at him. He might have been a man when he was weak. He been a man when he was there. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus, come forth. Return back when he had been dead 4 days. Return back when he had been dead 4 days. Return back when he had been dead 4 days. Return from Christ, reconciling the world to himself. He was more than a man. He was a God man. He was God of all man. He was reconciling himself here in his Son. God was himself in him. Was God dwelling? Look at him. He was a man, truly. When he was crying, he was a man. But when he raised the dead, he was God. When he come down off the mountain that night when he was hungry. But when he took 5 biscuits and fed 5,000, he was God speaking out of his Son. God was in his Son. Don't you believe that? Yes, sir. Oh, he was a man. When he'd been in that prayer meeting and all the first had gone out of him, he was laying on the back of that little ship that night when it floated around like a bottle stopper on a mighty sea. 10,000 devils of the world. 1,000 devils of the world. 1,000 devils of the world.
Manifested unto this people.